Man, pumped for an economic update. I look forward to these more and more every single week because the landscape's changing faster than ever. We got the author of Thriving in the Economic Tsunami, Dr. Kirk Elliott. Well, happy Monday. How's it going?
Great.
It's going great. We got problems so big that a single PhD can't do them. We need somebody with two PhDs to break down what's going on around the globe because the inmates are running the asylum. And I've got a question for you. When I'm watching the news, I have this thought that's always in my head. I see problems in the world. There's things our church is doing. There's things that are going on. I'm like, what if Stacey and I had a meeting and we're like, oh, they have this missionary thing. Let's fund 10,000 missionaries. Let's just give them $50 million and we'll just solve this problem. Well, we can't do that for one simple reason. We don't have $50 million. And so that is prohibitive on me doing some things I would like to do. And it is for most people. At least they can do that for a little bit if they have a credit card or something, but it's like, but not our government. They're like, oh, there's a problem in the world. Let's just write them a check and send the money. I'm like, where are these guys getting all of these billions of dollars? Because I look around and I'm like, they're not taking care of these things, and but yet we have billions to send. A week after we paid our taxes, they collected it and put it in a bag and sent it to Zelensky. It's how it feels. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, where are they getting all of this money? They have these like. Sometimes I'll be in a pinch. I'll look around my car and I'll find some, or it's like it's in a drawer. I got some hidden cash. You know, did they come up? Did they find an extra $95 billion?
Great question.
It is a really good question. And, you know, in the past, they were able to do this. They could raise the debt ceiling. They could fund every stimulus under the sun because we were the world's reserve currency, right? And all these international settlements and oil and everything else, we're using the US dollar. So politicians are used to that. But as of January, when the BRICS nations basically took away the petrodollar status by adding all these oil producers into their mix, we can't think like we used to, but politicians still are. Mm-hmm. See, this is the problem. See, they could get away with it and amass $34.5 trillion worth of debt because there was built-in demand for our currency. But now, not so much. Because if we don't have demand for our currency, they're going to be forced to print it, which will cause more inflation. And so the $60 billion that we decided, hey, let's just send it to Ukraine. It's like, well, good grief. I mean, this is awful. And for some dumb reason, Mike Johnson thinks it's, you know, Speaker of the House thinks that this is okay. I mean, I have issues with things that are going on in that guy's mind, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm not perfect either, right? But to go from a very supposedly conservative Christian man to having funding for full-term abortions and transgender stuff and sending money to other countries when we have issues on our own. What happened?
I mean, that is a great question. Yeah. That's something we've talked about several times. Has he been blackmailed? What the heck is going on? How can you switch so fast and go so far?
My guess would be blackmailed because nobody does a flip of a switch like that, 180 degrees opposite that quickly. Yeah,
exactly.
But I just got to keep coming back somewhere in the of all your PhD training, all this. And maybe I'm too just ignorant and uneducated to understand these high level matters. But when they don't have any money and they come up with money, where does the money come from?
The printing press. See, this is why sound money principles are so important. Like the way the founding fathers envisioned our country, we had currency that was backed by gold. So you couldn't actually print money unless you had the ounces to back it. But since the Federal Reserve Act in 1913, then that was put on steroids in the early 70s when we had the petrodollar. You know, and Nixon closed the gold window. All of that means we are 100% fiat based money. Well, throughout history, 100% fiat based currencies never survive ever. Like the average age, I think, is 88 years before a country can their currency becomes worthless and they have to change currencies or do something else. Well, we're at about well, let's see, 1913 we started, but 1944 we became the world's reserve currency under Bretton Woods Act. So, man, we're 80-something years into it. That's the historical average when a fiat-based currency dies. And we're right there. So this should not be shocking to anybody.
Okay, so what is going on with everything with wars? Because I've heard you say about so many times, you know, wars affect the economy. What's going on with Israel, Iran? How much is that affecting the United
Global
States?
Global tensions, instability. Israel's firing back. It just keeps escalating.
I think a lot right now. So I was thinking about this the other day, last, you know, not this couple days ago, but the weekend before when Iran decided they were going to shoot off drones at Israel. Mm-hmm. So in warfare, wouldn't you, if you've got ICBMs, like fast missiles that can actually target something and just like destroy that immediately, why wouldn't you use them? And wouldn't you want to do a sneak attack? Right? It's like, but no. Few days prior, they said, well, we're going to attack and we have these drones. We've got 300 drones and we all saw it right underneath our nose on TV. It took hours for them to get their slow flying, low flying drones with lights on them. It's like, okay, what gives? It's
like,
this is a sneak attack, right?
Well, it's in Missouri, we call that skeet shooting.
Yeah. It's like they wanted the whole world to see, you know, it's like, a teenage girl walking through the mall. She wants everybody to look at her, right? So, so this is what this was about. But this wasn't about, to me, not necessarily religious ideological differences. Because, look, the Arabs and the Jews have not gotten along since Isaac and Ishmael, right? Mm-hmm. So, but this one was different to me when I started thinking about it. It's like, okay, they wanted the whole world to see this, to probably strike fear into the hearts and minds of people, thinking now we're going to target Israeli and American, you know, interests all over the world. And when people are in fear, they start to do crazy things and give up their freedoms, right? But what happened in January? Iran became part of the BRICS nations. Okay, so now Iran, Russia, China, they're all in cahoots with each other, connected at the hip. They're married. Right? Politically and economically. Mm-hmm. Well, so you look at what China has done over the last decade, and the numbers have come out recently. China is now the majority owner of precious metals in the whole world. So estimates are, well, officially the World Gold Council says that China has 5,000 tons of gold. Unofficially, that doesn't add up. It's way more than that because China's the largest gold producer, mining country in the world. And how much of that do they sell? Zero. They keep it all. They're the largest purchaser of gold on the planet. So unofficial estimates are they have about 30,000 tons of gold, right? So what happens to gold and silver when there's war and conflict and rumors of war? It goes up, right? So in the past, you know, When London and New York, the Western financial banking system, owned the majority of gold and silver, what was their rationale? They wanted to suppress the price, keep it down to make their banking interests go up and everybody inject money into their banking system. Because when gold goes up, when silver goes up, it's a slap in the face against their fiat-based money creation. David, like what you were talking about earlier, okay, how long does a reserve currency last? They don't want gold. They didn't want gold and silver to go up because it was an attack against their own banking system. China, different story. They're backing up their currency with gold. They've made it known. They want their central bank digital currency to be backed by gold. They're amassing tens of thousands of tons. So it's in their interest to get gold to go up because it'll make them the financial superpower of the world. How do you do that? Use Iran as a proxy, create conflict. They're now part of the same family, part of the BRICS nations. Mm-hmm. This, to me, reeked of economic reasons why this all happened.
Mm. That makes sense.
And so you mentioned earlier with the show of force, it is telegraphed and very, it's kind of more, I don't know. I look at it more like the fireworks they have go off at Arrowhead Stadium. You know, it's kind of get the crowd jazzed up, you know, than it is like actually accomplishing something. It's a fireworks show more than it is an act of war.
An act of war.
See, gold is becoming increasingly less needed under a central bank digital currency in the West, under London, the United States, because they just want complete digital control. It's all about people control. When the Eastern, so there's this, been this power shift, this pendulum shifting moment of power from the West to the East. China's now got it. I hate to say it. I'm not being an apologist for Russia or for China. They're just playing this game really smart and we're playing it really stupid. You know, just saying reality, mm-hmm. right? So, but gold is very important in the whole grand scheme of things, right? Globally. Mm-hmm. How do we know this? Because when Russia invaded Ukraine, when that conflict first started, what was Biden's response? Biden says, hey, we're going to cut you out of the SWIFT system. We're no more international bank wires. We're going to starve out your population. So Russia went to China and said, hey, we got kicked out of the SWIFT system. We don't want our population to starve. China says, don't worry. We've got our own SIPs, C-I-P-S. Join with us in the BRICS nations and you can still have international bank wires coming in. Number two, what Biden did is he froze their assets in Russia, right? So this is a big deal because this isn't abnormal, though. If you're at war with somebody and you have control of their assets, you're going to freeze them so they can't get access to mm-hmm. them. Part of those assets were hundreds of billions of dollars worth of gold, right? So a lot, right? So we stole them. We took them. Russia can't get them. Well, Janet Yellen last week, I mean, it's kind of comical and kind of not because it has implications. But she basically told Russia, it's like, hey, you know that gold that we confiscated from you when we froze your assets, we're going to give it to Ukraine. It's like, oh, boy. So of all the countries on earth to give Russia's gold to, it's the country that they're at war with.
No kidding.
I mean, they just ticked off Putin so bad. And then that's going to create an aftermath, right? There's consequences to every action. So they're ticking mm-hmm. them off. But secondly, we're not the only country doing that kind of stuff to Russia. So, and again, I don't feel sorry for Russia. I'm not being an apologist for him. I'm just telling you what's happening because it's going to have retaliatory consequences, right? So the European Union decided in Brussels, said, hey, Russia, you know, you've got all this gold that you have of Romania since 1915. 91.5 tons of it we want you to give back to Romania. So Medvedev, remember that guy? He was the president of Russia prior to Putin. He's now some kind of a bigwig official in the Russian government. Okay, family-friendly show. We would never swear on this show, but he said, F you, European Union. It's like, what? It's like,
wow.
That's, I mean, exact quote. Probably with a Russian accent, but
right,
which would be more intimidating.
But yes, yeah. For sure.
Yeah, it's always more intimidating. Just like, okay, when I watch movies and stuff, whenever a British person is talking, they automatically start sound smarter than an American. It's like the Russians automatically sound meaner because scarier. Of that.
Yeah, definitely.
A love letter read with a Russian accent is scary.
A James Bond movie wouldn't be so cool and full of intrigue if somebody didn't have a Russian accent, right?
Right.
So
true.
So anyways, there's all this conflict, right? And it's what's the common denominator? Gold. It is really that important. So with all of this happening, I was doing some research at the end of last week, and this is interesting. So Goldman Sachs, let's see, Goldman Sachs, Bank of America, and UBS all came out with where they think gold is going to run on this current run. Not total, right? Not until the bull market is over, but on this run, Goldman thinks gold is going to hit $2,700 an ounce. Bank of America, $3,000, and UBS, $4,000 an ounce. The average is $3,200, right? Okay, so let's just say that point. Why are we in silver then? Well, there's a ratio, a historical ratio between gold and silver, and that's 20 to 1. But it's right now it's over 80, right? So mm-hmm. we've been over 80 for a while. So, but at 80 to 1, at $3,200 gold, it's what these big banks are predicting it's going to go to. That puts silver at $40, right? What is it when we get to 20 to 1? $165 an ounce, right? So as you're sliding down that ratio, silver's gone from 40 to 58 to 85 to 104. I mean, it's just amazing.
You're starting to sound like Bo Polny now.
Well, kind of. I mean,
when you talk about like those where it's going, because initially, weren't you saying like maybe like 75 was kind of what you were thinking? So
75 to 100 has been my prediction, yeah. Right? But at 20 to 1, for us to be at 165, you know, if we get to 30 to 1, we're at 104. We're right in the ballpark of where I said we would probably go. Boas is much higher because he's looking at, what happens? What if we get past 20 to 1, mm-hmm. which if we run out of silver, which over the last 18 months, the available COMEX silver supply is down 70%, 70 in 18 months, mm-hmm. there's only 30% left. But in 18 months, that drawdown is 3.8% a month. So at the 30% that's left, that makes us run out of silver in 8 to 9 months. This is where Bo's numbers could be spot on, because if we run out and manufacturers need it, they don't care what price they have to pay because they're going to pass it on to the consumer.
Right.
You could sell silver at hundreds of dollars an ounce, right? And so this
that is crazy.
Times are exciting. This is why I have a smile on my face, because people allocating into silver are going to do really well. Well, news came out this morning that I think it was the defense minister in Israel resigned because he said, you know, I'm kind of the warmonger that, you know, is causing some of the stuff. And so now silver came down like $1.30 this morning. Knee-jerk reaction to a 30-second soundbite. Fundamentally, nothing has changed. What does that tell me? Allocate on this dip.
Yeah.
Because nothing fundamentally changed. And so, boy, this is a great time to protect, preserve, to thrive, and get into something when the getting's good.
Because these last several weeks, maybe 2 months, silver has just gone up almost every day, you know, a little bit. We're talking 10 cents, 15 cents, 25 mm-hmm. cents, 30 cents, up and up and up. So this short retraction, I mean, people that are like, oh, if I missed that, this is an opportunity.
Silver's up over 30% in the last 60 days.
60. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, this is incredible. And it's fundamental strength. This isn't some kind of weird, oh, profit taking things like that. This is true fundamental silver running out, supply and demand, geopolitical issues, inflationary pressures causing that move. Now, those are the fundamentals. The technicals have caught up with it. Once we surpass $25 an ounce, like we talked about a couple weeks ago, well, that becomes our new floor, not our mm-hmm. ceiling, our new floor. So this is why we want to take advantage of this, because technically, fundamentally, everything is fitting together and we get to take advantage of it, being wise stewards with what God's given us.
That is huge. Okay, so Flyover family, if you're listening today, this is a great time and an unbelievable opportunity to be able to get into the silver game. If you've been waiting on the side thinking, oh, I'm going to wait it out, this is a great time to jump in. The way that you do that is you just go to flyovergold.com. You fill out your information, and then someone from Dr. Kirk's team will set up a free consultation for you. So it doesn't cost you any money to find out what your options are. Ask your questions so you can get those answered, or you can also call 720-605-3900. Again, 720-605-3900. When you do that, you're going to be setting up that consultation. So when you call, you don't get the consultation. You're setting the consultation up for this. So this takes a little bit of time. Make sure you do it now. Don't keep waiting. Do it today. You will be glad you did, for sure. Dr. Kirk, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it. This is a crazy time to be alive.
Well, just in our lifetime, used to be where you'd hear your grandparents talk about how cheap gas was and stuff. And it was 75 years before, 50 years you know, before.
And so we've seen a lot of changes since Biden took office. $700 more a month
than what you needed in January of 21 when he took office.
You might hear these kind of things and think, oh, that's overwhelming. I can't control the government. I can't control what they're doing. I can't control the spending. But we can take care of ourselves.
You want to make sure that you're buying bullion from somebody that you can trust and someone that does not charge you a commission when you go to sell.
If there's going to be a commission, have it on the front end, not the back end when it skyrockets. And now you're like, oh my gosh, look at this big, huge commission I got to pay because it's on the back end before I sell it.
you can buy an ounce of silver for $23. So this is something everybody can get into. And if silver goes to $50, if it goes to $75, if it goes to $100, all of those profits are yours. And that's happening while the dollar is buying less and less at the actual grocery store.
So you can go to flyovergold.com, fill out your information. When you do that, someone from Dr. Kirk's team will get a hold of you to set up a free consultation. It doesn't cost you any money whatsoever. Or to do the same thing, you can just call 720-605-3900.
If you want to do anything worthwhile in life, you've got to be hungry. It's better to be prepared for an opportunity and not have one than to have an opportunity and not be prepared. So every day I was working to develop myself. And that's what you must do.
I promise you one thing. You have never seen any player in the entire country play as hard as I will play the rest of the season.
Get in here! Hey, we got 30 minutes for the rest of our lives!
30 minutes
for the rest of our lives!
There were none before me, and there will be none after me. Therefore, that makes me the one and only. Young and single and love to mingle, certified, bona fide, and dubly qualified to bring you satisfaction, a whole lot of action. Look out, baby, I'm your love man. I was hungry! You gotta be hungry!
Hey, Flyover family, come join us June the 27th and 28th, 2024 in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We're going to be there with Clay Clark, an amazing group of individuals that have made such a difference in so many people's lives.
Do you want to increase your production in a job? Do you want to make more sales? Do you want to own your own business? Do you want to have breakthroughs financially? The key to that is knowledge.
Clay Clark is anointed to help people in business. We've watched him over the last couple of years, and we've been blown away. He's part owner of over 160 businesses, $2.4 billion in sales.
Before politics and the Great Reset came into Clay's life, he had the number one rated Apple podcast. And he interviewed people like Anthony Robbins, Seth Godin, the top authors, top business minds in the world. At this specific event, there was an interesting cast of characters that come from gangs to American Idol.
Some of the guests that are going to be there: Michael Levine, Colton Dixon, Peter Tompkins, John Lee Dumas, Mondo de la Vega,
and Tim Tebow. They're there to share what they've done and their breakthroughs and what their story is. And then Clay lays his map of business success, calls the path for every person to follow.
So you may be sitting there thinking, okay, I get it. What do I have to do? Go to thrivetimeshow.com. When you get there, the tickets are $250 or whatever you can afford. Yes, you got that right. $250 or whatever you can afford. You can name your price. So there are no excuses. You have to join us there. There are only a few VIP tickets left. Like David said, special dinner and special time with the speakers. That is $500 why they last. So $500, only a few left if you want a VIP ticket. We want to meet these speakers as well. So we got VIP tickets.
I want to meet Tim Tebow.
I do too. The date is June the 27th and 28th, 2024 in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Go to thrivetimeshow.com to get your tickets. For more great content, go to flyoverconservatives.com.